the dance of your people, Robin.
All right, ready when you are.
That's what she said.
All 50 of them.
It is 3 o'clock. Yep. It is the witch.
Hurry up.
Do it, Mark. Hit it.
Where is it?
Oh, Christ.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, everybody. Today is episode 449 of your Overseas Connection podcast, a subreddit NPR calm, soothing podcast. I don't know where I'm going with this. Hey, it's Greg DeLacy, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter, Murphy's Law on Xbox Live, and this is indeed the Overseas Connection. There's going to be nothing mundane, nothing calm about this podcast. It is episode 449. We are ready to rock your ears with some video game talk. We're going to talk about TV shows, we're going to talk about life, and everything in between that might go along with that, including, sadly, some racial slurs in my direction about my penis. I need to have a conversation with Robin Tate about that. I was offended last week when I heard that. So we'll be discussing that in depth. November 18th, 2017, Thanksgiving right around the corner. More importantly, to gamers, Black Friday right around the corner, as well as Cyber Monday. So maybe start getting your wish list together, kiddos, because the gaming clause is just around the corner. All right, I've rambled long enough on my end, so let's introduce the host today, starting with the least offensive person on this podcast, Mr. Mark Wright.
Least offensive? I think that's quite a compliment with these two. Yeah. Hello, Greg. Yep. Hello, everyone. Mark Alex here on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, Twitter, everything else. So, yep, I'm back.
Excellent. All right. Glad to have you on, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you are spinning the dials for us tonight, so yep. Appreciate that work.
Yep. Sausage Fest. Yes, Kozigan. Yes, Sausage Fest tonight.
Yes, it is indeed a Sausage Fest. Yes. And speaking of the middle, not as offensive, but sometimes offensive, Mr. Richard Webster.
I'm always offensive. What are you talking about? Proud of it. Do you know what? Because I've not been on the show for a while and I'm kind of multitasking at the moment, I thought, oh, I best get the show notes up. And So I Googled show notes. Didn't come up. But the number one result was from a blog post from the Audacity podcast saying 9 steps to better podcast show notes. So how good is that? Maybe I should read that instead.
Yeah, maybe.
We should implement that.
The podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Big Bad Daddy on Steam, Origin, Uplay, and once again, Xbox Live.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll
definitely
back to
be
Xbox
talking
Live,
about
yeah.
that.
Cheers. Yeah.
Welcome back to the fold. Microsoft is grateful to have you back in under the umbrella. They'll be sending you your commission check soon. Yeah. That's what I've been told, at least. And last, but certainly not least, but the number one offender on this podcast today, not only because of the slurs that he threw my way last week, but also because of that god-awful red shirt he has wearing right now, Mr. Robin Tate, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Well, hashtag me too. I have to complain about my fellow podcast members. It's been very, very hard for me to come out and say this, but I've been abused mentally, physically this year, and I'm so, so, so grateful for it. It's Robin Tate and Balamini here at Bongo the Sane. Yeah, it's good to be on the show. Greg, I apologize for talking about your doubling in the size of your penis going from the inch to 2 inch. I know it didn't go well. So to make
it only
you
went
try
two-thirds.
To, feel
like,
to make you feel a little bit, to make you feel a little bit better, I have some friends in the U.S. Navy, and they were up in their jets and they drew a penis in the sky for you. And it's actually made the news over there. So,
yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're in a bit of trouble, but that was just for you, Greg.
In fact, Greg's operation went that wrong. It's now.
Nice beaver.
He's an innie, not an outie anymore. Oh, my goodness. What a week. What an absolute cracking week. Just busy, busy. Lots going on. Lots of new things and lots of stuff. So
there is lots of stuff, but Robin, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, your apology accepted begrudgingly. But look, allegations were levied against me last week about a certain groping. I just would like to say that, one, because I'm gay, it's okay. I was happy at the time. And two, you were standing in such a way that you totally wanted it. So, you know, that was justifiable.
Yeah, well, I mean, the photograph of you grabbing my moobs, you know, when I was asleep at the time, it's went viral. It really has.
Yeah, but I mean,
bulletproof jacket on, or the helmet on.
Was it offensive to you? You weren't awake. I mean, it's totally okay.
I know. But, you know, when I kissed you sort of goodbye on the cheek, you turned around and you put your tongue in my mouth. And it's just not acceptable any longer. A month or two ago, that was okay, but not anymore.
Now that you know you can get famous off of it, it's not okay.
Yeah,
exactly. We are going to get in all kinds of trouble for this little opening, so I'm going to stop it right now. Let's take a different tact. We're going to step to the side, and then we're going to step forward. Let's talk about what we've been doing this past week. Mark. What's been going on in your life?
Story time, our favorite time of the day.
Not a lot, really. It's been one of them weeks where it's been that busy at work. I've been coming home and just flaking out and not really doing much. I have started the Netflix series of Mindhunters on a lot of people's recommendations. I think I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in. It's not what I thought it'd be. I thought it'd have a bit more of an X-Files-y type supernatural vibe to it. But though, it's still really good though.
Okay.
It's like, if anyone watches Criminal Minds, that one about the FBI behavioral unit, it's like the sort of like early days of when that was first set up in the 80s or 70s. 70s, I think. So yeah, it's quite interesting. And it features some real life serial killers, what the profile and stuff, so, and sort of like try analyze. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
So not at all like X-Files.
No.
All right, excellent though, fantastic. I was about to have to kick you off the show when you first were like, "Yeah, not really done anything." It's like, "Yeah, okay, thanks, thanks for that contribution." Yeah. There you go, good recommendation. Mindhunters. Yeah. Speaking of Mindhunters, Mr. Webster.
Hello.
What's been going on with you? You've had quite an eventful past week.
Yeah, I am. I also watched Mindhunters.
Oh well, there we go. That's it. That's it. That's all that happened.
Yeah, I mean. I met long lost family. I did that.
Yeah. That was, I mean, so, I mean, you know, all kidding aside, that was a really big kind of moment in your life. You met, basically extended family that you never knew you really had. You just recently found out about it. And so, I know that all went kind of well. I mean, obviously first steps first and, you know, but that's a kind of big momentous moment in your life. Probably the biggest one that happened this past week, but I'm going to get to another one that also kind of happened. You unwrapped a Christmas present.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Xbox One S.
Yes. Mm. So, okay. So what made you get an Xbox One S?
Well, we already have a PS4 and right. I was thinking, I was playing on my 360, like Red Dead Redemption, and I was playing a bit of Fable, and I was like, I want an Xbox One because these are on Xbox One now, backwards compatible. Right.
you know, it's a better console, not just for the new games, because I can play all them on PC apart from the exclusives, but I just wanted a new Xbox. I just missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was missing the Halo. Like,
yes.
Playing all the Halo. Halo's like one of my favorite games, so yeah, jumped so straight into up, that.
Yeah, you got a bundle, if I'm not mistaken, that had the Master Chief Collection in it, or did you get that separately?
I bought that separately. The the bundle was the Xbox One S with COD World War II, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Forza 7.
That's an amazing
bundle. Much?
Yes.
It was $220, I think.
That's good money.
Which is ludicrous. I don't know why that deal was there. In fact, when we went to the Currys the next day after we reserved it online, that deal wasn't on the website anymore, so I think it was a mistake. But me missus kicked off. She's really good at kicking off at people in shops.
I'm not.
I hate it. So I fucked off to the Subway. I was like, all right, I'm going to go and get some food. You sort this out. And so, yeah, I got there, and it was supposed to have another game with it. I think it was supposed to have Halo 5, and it was supposed to have Halo 5, Quantum Break, Forza, and no, Halo 5, Quantum Break, Assassins, and Call of Duty, but they didn't have Halo or Quantum Break, so they threw in Forza 7.
As okay.
women are extremely good at this tactic.
Yes.
Judith was Judith has some flights booked for next year. We're going to Italy, and there's a whole crowd of us. And it was booked by the flights were booked with some online agency. And when the tickets or the confirmation came in, one of the kids' names had a spelling error in it. Now, passport control through a British UK, or can be very particular and. Probably nothing would happen. It was a middle name that was spelled incorrectly. And when we noticed that Judith had phoned up to say, you know, this is not our fault. Can you get this changed? It'll be 25 or 30 quid to get a change. And she's going, what? She says, well, you know, we'll have to go look into this to see if it's your fault or if it was our fault. And of course it was their fault. You know, why would we do that? So she had to make two or three telephone calls, and he kept on saying, well, we have to charge you. It's your fault. But we'll come back to you to get this all sorted. So I came home one night last week, and Judith and her sister are standing in the kitchen laughing that they had phoned this place, and Judith started to cry on the phone.
Wow.
And she got a change for free. But she put the tears on purpose to get
Robin,
this done.
Yeah.
Class.
No, just, but you should be fearful, Robin, because this tactic no doubt will be used against you in the future.
No.
If it already hasn't been.
Bats her eyelids at me. She knows how to work me, all right. She really does. So that's you all set up now. Rich, you've got a good PC. You've got the PlayStation 4. You've got the Xbox One and all your other Nintendos and bits and pieces in the background. So you're set up, apart from a Switch now, to do everything. You've got the best of every world. That's brilliant.
Basically everything, yeah, which is really nice because I don't think I've ever owned all consoles at the same time. I've had the like one or the other type of thing. But yeah, I've never had like the Xbox, the PlayStation, and the PC all like sort of top whack. Obviously, I don't have like the Xbox One X or the PS4 Pro, but I've kind of played it safe for Red Dead as well, because if Red Dead doesn't come to PC, I'll now get it for the S. So
And what's nice about it on the S, it actually runs better than on when it was on the 360.
That's really the only reason I got the Xbox One, was so I could have a slightly better running Red Dead Redemption. But basically, like, I tried it the other day on the 360, and I was like, oh, this is like kind of jumpy in areas. I never really noticed like 6 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But I played it on the S, and it is just butter smooth, 30 frames per second, but smooth and just perfect. Perfect.
So you have some really, really good, you know, fresh games, your Origins and your Call of Duties. But I mean, will you be going back to some stuff that maybe you had missed some. Maybe, you know, I know Gears is available on PC, but you've got the Gears there, or there's the that Xbox Gold, the 111 odd games to dip into, or the EA Access stuff with the Titanfalls. Yeah. Are you going to do any of that to go back some of the old stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to go with I'm going to get Xbox Game Pass. That's what they call it, isn't it? Game Pass.
Right,
I'm going to get on that. I think there's a deal on at the moment on the console. It says Game Pass for £1.
For a quid?
Yeah. £1 gets you a month.
Yeah, so I might do that. I do have a code for, I think, 1 month free trial. So I want to go back. I'm going through Master Chief Collection. I bought a couple of days ago. So, I mean, playing through Halo 1 with, like, the new graphics. I actually own Halo CE Anniversary for 360, but just never got around to playing it for some reason.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, playing it with the newer graphics and being able to switch back and forth, it blew my mind. Every 5 minutes, I'm like, wow. I'm playing through that. I've noticed there's a few frame rate dips here and there. I've read up on, I think Eurogamer did an article from Digital Foundry that said that, like, each one in that series kind of runs progressively better. Hopefully patches come out and fix it. But I think Halo 3 runs the best of the bunch in that group. I'm going through Master Chief Collection. I want to go back to Sunset Overdrive. I know that was a launch issue.
Yeah,
that's not playing.
Quantum Break, I do want to dip into. I could have got it on the PC, but I just never got around to it. So I might pick it up on the cheap on
check out the Game Pass, by the way, because I know, like, Halo 5 is on Game Pass. So I don't recall if I don't think Quantum Break is, but I know, like, Mad Max, Mad Max game was on there.
Sunset Overdrive is there definitely as well.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go back to, like, some good exclusives and stuff.
And for 20 quid a year, EA Access is a real bargain.
Yeah, really good.
Even if you just get it for Titanfall 1 and 2 and
Titanfall or Battlefront or...
I'm just going to make a guess, by the way. This is foreshadowing, but I bet Battlefront 2 gets onto EA Access faster than you would think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Dear. Yeah, well, very good. Right. That's great, Rich. Yeah.
Anything else, Rich?
What I've been playing, or?
No, just life. Any other life happenings you want to talk about before we move over to a certain individual?
No, a new family. I've got new brothers, so yeah, fantastic.
That really is the biggest news of it. I don't know how much you want to talk about it, so I'm being a little, evasive on that. But
long lost family. I didn't know I had like immediate family. Like I've now got an extra handful of brothers and stuff. So yeah, good times. It's fun. They're all quite a lot older than me. 50, 49, 48. So I'm like, I don't know. I think they said something like the baby brother, and I was just like, "Oh God!"
Like, yeah. Well, and just like us, then, like, you're our baby brother.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you getting along with all of them so far?
They seemed all right. I think we're going to go for a meal or something in a few weeks. Get some food.
That's good. I mean, nothing worse than finding out you have a bunch of new brothers and they're all assholes. So,
one of them's a massive arsehole. And straight away you can tell he's an arsehole. But like I said, I think that's where I get the cunt from. That look. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But it looks like you've picked a family as well. So
yeah,
that's good. It's good. Yeah, life is richer, and if it goes swimmingly, well, brilliant. Brilliant.
Robin reminded me of the most famous phrase about picking, and it is, you can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Right.
Why? You could with permission.
Why? Yeah.
No, just get away. Go away. Yeah. Robin, what did you do this past week? Anything exciting?
Do you know what? The main thing that I've done this week, and the Barbara Streisand is about to come out on me, I'm getting very concerned about myself. So... A few months ago, it must be 4 or 5 months ago when it came out, the digital streaming, Judith and I sat and watched La La Land, that pretentious bit of fluff. And I watched it and I went, you know what? This is Hollywood up its own ass. This is just absolutely just all right and average. I don't know what the fuss was about. Last night, Judith was out for a while. And I, for some reason or other, decided to put Netflix had it streaming, and I put it back on again. And it got me. It got me completely and utterly. The filmography, the music, the story, just everything about it just oozes class. I just loved it to pieces, to the point where I've listened to the soundtrack at least three times today. And tonight I put it, before I came out of here, I put La La Land back on again with, because we had visitors, and I put it back on. It's just class. Am I gay?
Yes,
I don't know. Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I just, the first time I watched it, I didn't get it all. And this time I just seen so much more of it. Maybe it's because I was in LA. Maybe that's part of it this year.
I think anybody who told us not to pick on you before, Robin, is actually
yeah, they will not.
Statement. Yeah.
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 To be fair, mate, I watched La La Land, right? And as gay as it was, I did quite like it. It was all right. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
I don't understand what's happening.
The opening scene where they're all dancing in the cars on the overpass,
yeah,
that's pretty much a two-shot camera shot. And it goes on for about 10 minutes, and it's just unbelievable how they actually did it. It is because they're over, the carriage went over, and they're running through the cars with the camera, and there is no, it's a one shot. It's just class the way it's set up and the lighting, and it looks like it's old color CinemaScope sort of color into it, and just awesome. Awesome. Right. And the bit at the end in the club where it sort of reviews the whole film in a wee short, you know, what would have happened in a different reality, it almost had me. I could feel myself welling up.
Yeah, it was a bit sad.
Mark, I just going to have to remove Robin Stone from
the account.
Disappointed!
Okay. The other thing that I've been listening to in the car this week, I picked up Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton's original novel on Audible. And it's not the book of the movie, it's the original Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton, which inspired Jurassic Park. Now there are lots of similarities, but it is very different. I can't help but placing the characters from the movie into it, but there's there's some big differences in it.
I imagine it's probably more mature.
No, I think the film expanded in some of the parts of it much better. You know, they expanded on Michael Crichton's original ideas and some of it, but some of the background stuff to it all was good. You know, and some of the background into the reasons why it was made and the, you know, but it's a good listen. So if you're on your Audibles and you get your one free book a month, that would be one that I would say go and grab it. Or if you get a cheap and keep an eye on that free Audible book every day, or the £1.99 book every day. So yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. So La La Land. If you haven't seen La La Land, or if you have, go back and watch it again and do it lightly.
We've got a question in the chat for you, Robin. So what's next for Bongo saying? Brokeback Mountain?
No. See, there is no hairy back hardness sex scene in La La Land. It's just light and it's lovely, and it's a lovely sort of love story. It is a dig at Hollywood, it is a dig at that lifestyle, it's a dig at how hard it is. It's a thing about where life doesn't take you in the way that it's supposed to, or you think it's going to. A love lost, but a love that was never lost, and it's so good.
I will answer the question for Robin. What is next is Robin is going to be waking up early in the morning tomorrow, and he's going to be watching a bunch of men running around. Actually, I guess it would be late in the afternoon. But men in tight pants running around in armor and hitting one another.
I don't know. It was a great film, and I loved it, and I would send them flowers. So, yeah. Judith watched it, and she pieced her
pants. I've heard good things. I have heard good things about the movie.
Anyway, Anyway, and you coming from Los Angeles is you know, perfect.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Me from Los Angeles, yes.
Totally. What totally else have I done? That's it. I've done lots of work. I was out power hosing the patio big area there today, and I was out for so long, my toes were so cold because it's almost freezing over here. And then I was at the horses, and we were out doing a bit of horse riding this afternoon, and oh, goodness, it's just the life of Robin. It's just nutty. Buying Amazon gifts like mad. Christmas is Amazon in our house. So yeah. I bought a couple of 27-inch monitors this week for Christmas presents for the boys. And lots of other stuff. A new mic. What do you call those? Snowballs? And a whole pile of other bits and pieces. We just, every day there's Amazon stuff coming. It's great. So Christmas is almost completely sorted in our house at this stage. All the prezzies, they're hidden and stashed in all places. And I played some video games as well.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the video games shortly. I know people are probably wanting to listen to that more than us rambling on about life. But, hey, life is what this is all about. Luke Cage. I started watching Luke Cage this past week.
Have you seen it all yet? Oh, he's still not.
No, yeah. I'm about halfway through.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Luke Cage.
I liked it. Or I should say I like it. The midway point, it's kind of losing me a little bit because it feels a little, I don't know, a little over the top, which, I mean, it's a comic book series. So, I mean, how can you be over the top when you're a comic book series?
Arm wrestling? It's about arm wrestling?
No. But
Sylvester Stallone in the Las Vegas Hotel?
No, I gotcha. That's a good reference. No. I mean, the character Luke Cage, at least up to this point, I'm kind of, you know, it's Superman, right? It's
fucking boring.
He's impossible boring. To kill. He's impossible to kill. So it's kind of like, yeah. He's the
it's
uber hero.
It's a hard series to watch. I got bored with it. Because it is, he just plods along. For fuck's sake, would you move a bit faster? Would you move the story along? It kind of condense the episodes a bit more. You know, it's
not Daredevil. I will just say right now, it's not Daredevil. I really enjoyed the Daredevil series so far. So I'm looking forward to checking out Punisher. That is out this week.
Yeah,
by
that's
the way.
Just come out. Yeah,
it just came out yesterday.
I think I've watched 4 episodes of that.
And thumbs up or thumbs down?
It's very good.
Okay, all right.
I might be biased, though, because I think Punisher's the best Marvel that Netflix do.
Well, I mean, he may be. I don't know. I like Daredevil a lot, so
Daredevil's
that's
very good.
That's my barometer. He has to be as good or better. Yeah. Luke Cage is falling below Daredevil for me.
The guy with the hand is the worst.
Oops, yeah.
Iron Fist.
And the immortal Iron Fist.
Oh,
yeah. He's a right,
scummy
bugger.
Yeah.
You know, I watched Wonder Woman this week. That was a
that's
thing.
Fantastic. That's
yeah, I enjoyed that. Man, John Quirk passed.
I fell asleep 2/3 of the way in. Yeah. So I seen the first sort of half, and I dropped out for about 15 minutes, and then I seen the end. So I don't quite know how the thing happened to the guy that happened to the thing. Yeah.
Well, that's cryptic, but yes.
Captain Kirk, yeah. I don't quite really understand why the thing happened that happened. So I'll have to go back and watch it again because I bought it. Yeah. But yes, she is one of the most beautiful women on the planet. She is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And talking of Wonder Woman, Justice League is out this week.
Yes.
In the UK.
Yes. Yeah. Really curious how that's going to get received. Yeah.
Cosinan in the chat is he's been listening to Bob. The Bob Universe, Bobiverse yes. books.
Is he related to Cosigan?
Yeah, that's him and his cardigan. So that's great that I'm glad you're enjoying those, and he's given us a couple of recommendations there as well. The Fear Saga and Extracted. He says those are good as well. So, yeah, we'll check those out. Good. Good. Thank you.
Excellent.
I love that.
Yep, absolutely.
I got my new car.
Oh, you finally got it.
Robin, yeah. you're just blurting things out.
I know. It's random, isn't it? I took my Viagra just right in time.
You did. Yeah, I got my new car. What did you get?
This is my work car, so I bought a Volkswagen Passat. I had an Audi A4 before for work. Don't like anything ever too fancy. I went automatic this time, and it's fabulous. No more clutch, no more stick shift.
I mean, you know what? It is increasingly difficult to find manual shift cars here in the U.S. Almost everything is automatic now.
Yeah, well, this is the problem with automatic over here. They were crap. And now this is as smooth as butter. Yeah. This is 180 brake horsepower diesel, and it's very, very quick. And it has all leather interior and all the other bits and pieces and reverse cameras and all mod cons. It's really, really clever.
Nice.
So I'm very happy with it. So yeah, you know, it's long overdue.
Automatics are the best in traffic.
Oh, well, this thing. Okay, so the one that I was driving had the lane changing, so it sort of pulled you back into your lane if you left your lane. So this here has this, but it has this extra thing, Mark. It has this thing, I think it's called adaptive cruise control.
It's got radar built in the front.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You hit the cruise control and you maybe say hit it for 60, but if you even go into a 30-mile-an-hour zone, it slows right down and brakes automatically for you. It's really freaky. So with that and the lane control, you don't even have to hold onto the wheel. I can play maracas all day long, but I'm driving.
Robin will be falling asleep at the wheel. Let's face facts. Yeah.
Oh, the maracas are going. I can do all sorts of things. Yeah. Anyway, games. Oh, Xbox One X's. Right, let's talk about those.
Yes. Actually, before we talk about the Xbox One X, Thanksgiving right around the corner. So I have to give my wife some props. Right now, she is working away on getting the house ready for Thanksgiving.
Is she stuffing your turkey, Greg? Is she stuffing your turkey?
Not yet. That happens Tuesday.
Getting the house ready. What do you mean? I mean, you don't have Thanksgiving decorations, do you?
Yeah. We have.
What are Thanksgiving decorations?
Fall decorations. That's really more fall. So.
I knocked over.
Nothing has been knocked over. I don't knock anything over, Robin. I've never actually hit an animal, unlike somebody we know.
I've never hit an animal.
I've knocked plenty of them over, though. So we're getting the house ready because we're actually hosting Thanksgiving for the first time here, which means her whole family is coming to the house. So kind of a big deal. And of course, I'm like, yeah, I have to podcast. And she's like, I thought you were taking today off. And I'm like, no, I promised I wouldn't take today off. So I'm in the doghouse a little bit in that I'm escaping out of doing some work on the house to podcast today. But I'll pull my weight come post podcast tomorrow, that kind of thing. But Thanksgiving is a big deal here in the U.S. I know you guys don't really get it.
Tell me, just Brits. Yeah, nothing. Okay. We're thankful for nothing. But so when you're sitting down at dinner, do you do the film thing, you know, like when you're sitting down there and I would, like a prayer almost, I like to say I'm thankful for my Xbox One and this crappy turkey.
And
I'm thankful for you being nice. Do you do that? Do you really do that? Do you work your way around?
So we'll all sit at the table and everybody will talk about something that they're thankful for that year. Usually it's not. I'm thankful for my Xbox One X. I will think of that though now when I do my I'm thankful for. It's kind of tradition. You sit down at the table and you have kind of I won't say it's a prayer per se, but it's just kind of a tradition where everybody will kind of in turn say something that they're thankful for. Yeah.
Kumbaya, my love. Kumbaya.
We'll be having turkey, we'll be having mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, stuffing.
Wow, good, bread. Lovely.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a fantastic dinner. And it's weird to call it dinner because Thanksgiving, usually the dinner takes place around 3 in the afternoon, which is not dinner here in the U.S. I know it's different, like you guys have supper and then you have tea and None of that makes sense to me, for the record. Well,
we have dinner at lunchtime here as well.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's at dinner time. It depends.
Yeah. So your dinner is our lunch, and your tea, which I would think would be a snack, is your dinner, and then there's supper, which is dessert, I think. And it confuses the hell out of me. But
and a bowl of cereal.
The most important thing is normally we eat our dinners or our tea around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. But Thanksgiving, it's almost always right around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you start eating that big meal. So by 7 o'clock, the tryptophan is kicking in. You're ready to go to sleep on a fat.
When does football start?
So football will start around 10 o'clock in the morning. So the first game will be 10 o'clock in the morning, and then they'll have a second game at, I believe, 1 o'clock, and then they have a third game now, and that's in the evening for Thanksgiving.
Because that's always a movie film sort of thing that, you know, everybody rushes their dinner so they can all jump on the couch to watch the football on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Football will be playing at our house the entire time.
It's kind of odd because if that was over here, that sort of means, and I look at it as the year is now over for America because you have this Thanksgiving and then in a week or two time, it's Christmas time. So, and nobody must be in the right frame of mind to work now. Everybody's in wind down mode. It must be in December every year.
Yeah. So it's crazy. So the lead up for work, just kind of thinking about the work time frame. So we get a huge rush of people like trying to spend their end of year budget. They've realizing they've got some last year budget to spend. And so we get all kinds of crazy requests coming in. And it's always, this needs to be done by end of year. And so those requests will hit and we'll have those conversations all the way up until basically Tuesday. And then everybody just goes dark. Nobody's in office for like a week and a half. They come back for 2 weeks in December and then they're gone again. And basically, you know, things quiet back down again all the way up until like New Year's.
I have a client at the moment that I'm thankful for. I am thankful for this client. I am thankful. I was at a site meeting on Thursday site meeting, and he is going to refit one of his stores. And he's doing it starting on the 18th of December. And it'll take,
And he probably wants it done by the 1st.
And he wants it done and ready to open again on the 27th. Yes.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, lovely. So, and his thinking is, well, yous are all quiet. So nobody does anything at this time of year. So everybody won't be available. Isn't it a great time to do it?
Right.
Yeah.
As long as he pays for it.
He got some pushback at that meeting. There was builders and contractors and people saying. Right. I think the word that the builder used was, "This is preposterous," which I quite enjoyed. It was, and so that was the term for the rest of the meeting. Yeah. Hashtag preposterous, this whole project.
Yeah. My term would have been, you know, double time. Time and a half, you know, double time for employees that are having to work that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, look, my father never understood. My father was a clock-in, clock-out man, so he started his shifts, and he worked from, say, 7 to 3 or whatever it was, 9 to 5 or all the different shifts that he worked. And he could never, ever, ever understand when I started my working career that I maybe arrived in at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You're getting paid overtime for that, aren't you? Yeah, you're getting paid extra for that. Dad,
right.
I'm a salesman. A salesman, but how does that work? The more I sell, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do.
Right.
Look at that. Martin in the chat says, "Your Thanksgiving sounds like your family is the Waltons." Lovely.
Yeah, they're the farthest thing from the Waltons. It's completely dysfunctional, but I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Let's talk video games. There's an idea. Video games. Hmm. Mark, do we have a thing for this?
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
All right. Well, on that note, I feel bad for myself now. All right, video games. Let's see. Mr. Webster, you've been awfully quiet for a little while. Let's talk about what you have been playing. I know there was Master Chief Collection involved and a little COD World War II.
I need to wait.
All right. Well, then we'll come back to you.
They're pretty cheap these days.
Go take care of the business.
Thanks.
Mark.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn, GTA 5. I see these on your list.
Yeah. GTA 5. So I've owned this for quite a while now on Xbox One. I've had it on disc, but I've hardly played it. I've got it on PS4 as well, and I've played a little bit of it. And I also had it on 360, because this is how much I love this game. And I completed it on 360. I loved it. But I hardly played it on Xbox One. I got it to mainly play with some of the track guys back in the day.
Right.
But then my nephew had a code for it, what he won. And I managed And I managed to talk him into swapping the disc version for the code version, so I could not have to get off my ass and put the disc in. And also Uncle Greggles can get it as well. So he did that, because he won't bother. He prefers discs anyway. So I've been playing that again. And man, that game holds up to this very day.
It's brilliant.
It is superb.
Super.
Yeah. And last Sunday, quite a few of us got together. And we did the new stunt races and transform races, what you see on Twitch a lot, where you're on tracks in the sky and stuff. And that is so much fun. We spent hours on that having a right laugh. It is really good. We did some of the top fun where you had the airplanes chasing the bikes, ways to blow them up before they got to a certain point and that. It's just hilarious. Really, really good fun. So it was nice to get back into that world, and I played a bit of single player on it as well. So yeah, really, really good. So you need to get into this, Greg.
I need to actually finish up the single player. I never actually finished the single player, if I remember correctly.
No, I've not on the Xbox version. I've just unlocked Trevor now. I've just got to the part where you meet Trevor now on the Xbox One version. So
he's
that's always
very,
fun.
Very like Greg. Very.
I really appreciate that, Robin. Yeah,
the single player is fantastic. I always, a bit like Greg, our minds meld now and again, that I always sort of had a problem with the character and the style of theme of what GTA was about, that scummy gangstery type.
Right.
But the GTA 5 was just awesome. It wasn't that scummy. Trevor would be the scummiest, but it was almost caricature, a cartoon style character. I thoroughly enjoyed the story of GTA and the world itself. I mean, it's a service. GTA is a service game. I mean, there's just so much to it.
Well, the online has been supported constantly, and they're still adding things. And I haven't been online with it for absolutely ages. And then coming onto it now, there's so many new icons and things to do. It's like a proper living, breathing world, digital world. It's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about GTA 5, because I know they had plans for this online world. I don't think they ever imagined it taking off the way it has and becoming this gigantic service-based online component. It is a fantastic game. There's no denying how successful that game has been. Yeah. I think it's the most bought game now ever.
I think so.
I believe it's like 80 plus million units sold.
So
pretty insane.
And the other game I've been playing is, I've gone back to Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm trying to finish some games. Because I just keep switching. I'll start another game and get right into it. And then I've done it with Assassin's Creed. I'm partway through that. But it's Rich's fault, really. And he's not here, so I can blame him. he wanted to borrow it because I've got the disc version. So he wants to borrow it to play it before the end of the year for his Game of the Year thing. So I thought, oh, shit, yeah, I need to finish this. So I've started playing it again. And this game is one of the best games on PS4. It's absolutely superb. The graphics, the gameplay, all the additional things like your crafting and everything, it's just so well done. And the voice acting as well. In fact, it's just won some awards as well, hasn't it? At the Golden Joystick Awards.
I have no doubt it's going to win quite a few. Yeah. I would say probably at the Video Game Awards that's coming up. You know, the Jeff Keighley big award ceremony.
No doubt
it will win some awards there. And justifiably, I have not played it. You know, full disclosure, not played it. I don't have a PS4. Mm. But this is one of those games to me that is, you know, if you want to talk about reasons to own a console or games that drive, why you would want to play there, that's one of those games.
Yeah.
It ranks right up there with The Last of Us and oh God, it's escaping me, Uncharted.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd seen all the different robotic creatures, but I haven't. I've come across some more this week. Some of them are really big and nasty and take some destroying. I've done my first cauldron today, which is like the Tomb Raider's version of a tomb. So I've done that one today. That was quite cool. It's not puzzly like a tomb in Tomb Raider, but there's a lot of sort of like maneuvering around to get to somewhere. And there's a few enemies in there to take out. And then there's a boss at the end. So that was quite cool. And you get quite a bit of loot. I've managed to upgrade some of my gear now, so my two bows and my tripcaster. They're all purple gear now, which is legendary. So I just need to update my sling. So the tripcaster is quite cool. What you can do is, it's like a tripwire, and you can have an electrified fire or explosive, and you shoot one point, and you shoot another point, and it makes a tripwire. And then you can lure the robotic creature, or anyone really, there's bandits as well, human bandits, lure them across into the tripwire, and it'll either stun them or set them on fire and take them out. So it's really cool.
And do those animals have any sort of chance whatsoever, Mark, or are you just slaughtering them indiscriminately?
No. But some of them are really tough. I'm only playing it on normal as well. It's about three difficulty levels.
PETA will be calling you.
Yeah. Some of these animals, robots, they can take you out pretty quick if you're not careful, if you don't keep it on your health bar. I've unlocked quite a few extra things. You collect, like a lot of games, you collect some of the plants and herbs, and it increases your health, your green line under your health bar. And when your health bar deteriorates, you press up on the D-pad, and then you'll use some of your green bar to replace your health bar. And once you've run out of your green bar, you're sort of like on your own sort of thing. But I've got quite a lot of the green bar to sort of like buffer into now. But it's so easy to forget about that, and before you know it, you're dead. And then it takes you back right to the last game save, which is annoying. For one of the legendary things to craft is a fast travel thing, so you can fast travel whenever you want at no cost. Because normally in this game, to fast travel, you need a fast travel like backpack type thing. So to get this item, you need a fox skin. And the number of foxes, I'm gonna get a load of hunters now criticize me. The number of foxes I've had to kill the past 2 days to get this skin, because it's a
fox killer.
Yeah, it's quite a rare drop. So I finally got one, and I got killed by one of the robot creatures. And then
I was hoping you were going to say a fox.
Yeah, no. And then I looked in my inventory, and it was gone. Oh, Christ. And it took me about another 2 hours before I got another fox skin. I got it in the end, luckily. And then I went straight to a bonfire and saved. So, yeah, it's got the Dark Souls thing where you go to bonfires and save. But, yeah,
Mark,
it's really
Wright,
cool.
Exotic animal killer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for that, Mark. Rich, now that you are a little bit lighter in the trousers, how are we feeling? We're good?
Jeez, that was a long pee. A long pee, man. Wow.
I'm not going to lie.
He had a poo.
I got a drink and stuff as well.
Rich.
It's a wee thing, but it holds a lot.
Good to let it go,
games.
Robin. Letting it go. Yes, games.
Games.
What games have you dabbled in this past week that you want to talk about? I mean, take your pick.
Okay. I tried Forza 7 for a couple of races. That was pretty good. Assassin's Creed Origins, I'm about an hour or two in. And
I love that game.
I have to fire this back up. I haven't fired it up yet.
So far, it's probably my second favorite one.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a second
two. Favorite. Two's, same. I'm same.
Right.
Yeah. I've not played an Assassin's Creed since Black Flag, so it's been a little while.
I loved Black Flag.
Yeah.
They've done enough.
Syndicate was okay.
They've done enough in this game, Mark. You'll probably agree with me that it feels different.
Yep. Yeah, the 2 year gap has done it justice. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it doesn't feel like an Assassin's Creed, but at the same time, it does. It feels like a little bit like The Witcher.
Yep. And it's got a little bit of Far Cry in it, and there's a bit of everything in it.
And I've just been sort of messing around in the little village that you start in, but like there's just cool side quests, just dead random ones. Like I saved a kid from a cave, and with the HDR on the 4K TV and all that, the going in and out the cave is really nice. It's like when you're in the cave outside, it's like glowing white, and then like you go outside, none of this fake HDR shit that games do. You know, like when you look at the sun and it's like bright light. It's like real HDR, so it's like real life. I like the setting. I like the characters and stuff. I'm intrigued about what's going on. And, yeah, it's got me interest, so I recommend Assassin's Creed Origins. It's quite expensive, so if you don't like Assassin's Creed, probably don't buy it. But if you do...
It's actually in the Black Friday sale, believe it or not, and it's all just come out, so...
Yeah?
Yeah, it's cheaper. Well, not cheap, but it's cheaper.
There's a lot going into that Black Friday sale.
Have you unlocked the Predator bow yet, Rich? Because that's my favourite bow.
Is that the one with the 5 arrows?
No, that's a warrior bow. The Predator bow is one where you can track the arrow and follow the arrow and guide it.
No, not yet.
Yeah, that's cool. Really, I love that one.
You know, those homing arrows that they had back in the day of Egypt.
Ahead of their time, I tell you.
Yeah. Like,
they were.
Like the UAV Eagle.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed Origins, recommended if you're an Assassin's Creed fan. It's a breath of fresh air. Like you said, Greg, the 2 year gap I think has really helped, and I want them to have at least 2 year gaps from now on. Maybe three years. It's very good.
Well, I'll talk about it in a bit, so go ahead, keep going.
Okay. I want to go into Call of Duty World War II next.
Okay. Let's talk about this. I just finished this the single player.
Yeah, I think I've done, the first two missions. I might be lying to you. I might have only done the first one. Maybe I have done two. And I've been playing a bit of the multiplayer. My girlfriend's been playing a lot of it. I'm rank 32 now. Thanks to her. I got like 4 levels. She's been playing it. Do you know what? It's okay.
Right. I agree with that sentiment. I like the war mode a lot.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of Battlefield Rush.
Mm.
I don't care. I mean, the team deathmatch stuff, the headquarters stuff, it just feels like COD. So it doesn't feel really new. It doesn't feel all that different. So I'm pretty indifferent to those game modes. I wasn't overly excited or thrilled by the zombie mode. I played that over Extra Life with Mike. And that was okay. It wasn't like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever. The war mode I like for online. Mm. And the single player, it's a bit of a mixed bag for me. I think it's a decent story. And visually it looks fantastic. I'm playing it actually on the Xbox One X and it really shows up nicely. There's been a lot of different screenshots I've taken as I've been playing through. But the story itself, you know, it's okay. It's voice acted decently, but it's very predictable. It feels like in so many ways I'm just watching or playing through an episode of Band of Brothers, and in my head I'm thinking that's not a bad thing. But as I play through it, I'm kind of like, I kind of wish they'd gone a different direction.
Yeah.
What about the bell in the church? Have you got to the bell in the church?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I hear that's a bit sort of over the top sort of thing. Like a bit.
I didn't find that as offensive as some other people did. You know, not offensive, but I mean, people were like, oh my God, it's so over the top. And it's like, well, okay. It's kind of one of those action-y moments that Call of Duty is known for, and so it's kind of bombastic in a way, but it wasn't something that I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. You know, I, you know, when it happened, I knew exactly what, you know, people had talked about. I didn't feel like it overstayed its time. It you know, the moment isn't super long. It happens, and then you kind of move on from it.
So is it as good as COD 4 or COD Modern Warfare or Modern Warfare 2 even, or Black something?
I'd probably put it somewhere between maybe like World at War and Black Ops, maybe.
Oh shit.
Okay. That's not a bad thing. What I like about the multiplayer, because I kind of phased off once it got to like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4, 7, I was just like, right, this is the same shit, and it just kept more and more and more shit was going on. This dials it back. It's a lot more like COD 4 in that. So
yeah.
It's the multiplayer is more about like just the guys, and there is stuff going on, and I'm not going to lie to you, I don't really understand what's happening. I think there's like a UAV sometimes, and then there's bombs. That's about it. It's not like Modern Warfare 2 where there's like all this fucking stuff going on. Everyone's got these like killstreak stuff and everything's happening. It's much more basic.
Right. And I do like that aspect of it.
Yeah, so it's dialed back, but I don't really like many of the maps. I don't think the multiplayer maps are very good, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, we play a lot of domination. And I find that a lot of the times where the flag is, it's just purposefully like a little choke point. So it's always a case of that flag, everyone always dies there because it's in a hole and everyone throws grenades, so it's just right. Like there's no point ever trying to take that flag unless you're happy to just die over and over and over. There doesn't seem to be a lot of strategy. I think Modern Warfare 2's domination I think was a bit better with that. Single player, like you said, Greg, I think it's okay, but it's not the best World War 2 single right. player. I thought like Brothers in Arms did a better job.
I totally agree. In fact, Brothers in Arms is kind of the original Brothers in Arms is like one of the pinnacle to me of World War II single player games. Really hoping this was going to be that. It falls short. It really does.
I think it tries to be like Band of Brothers, doesn't it? It tries to be that cinematic experience. And I think it's just too much. It's just too much like, I don't know. Too much fluff and not enough substance. Like Brothers in Arms didn't have like the budget that this has. Didn't have like the actors that this has. But I thought it told a better story. The Battlefield 1 campaign, again, is like, it's just, Battlefield 1's campaign is something different, isn't it? It's like the way it's written and it puts you in different people's shoes and all that. This is kind of like, hey, it's four guys and they're all friends and,
right.
Got to save someone's life and, oh, there's the Nazis again. It's just quite predictable, like you said. I mean, it's not bad. I'm not saying like it's a crap game, but it's not like, wow. Because I was wowed by Battlefield 1.
Right.
The campaign. I was like, wow, this is cool, this. Call of Duty is just like, it's like a low, you know, medium budget, like war movie.
So you know, interestingly, like the comparison to Battlefield 1, you know, Battlefield 1 introduced a little bit of diversity within their characters. It to me felt pretty natural. It didn't feel forced. It was like, you know what, these characters kind of, they work. Yeah. In the Call of Duty campaign, and I'm not going to say specifically what, but they do introduce some characters that to me feel very much like, all right, we need to really do something about inserting somebody that's going to kind of fit a profile. So let's insert character into this section of the game, and then we're going to insert.
Say it. Come on, Greg. The token black guy.
There's a token woman, and there's a token black guy. They throw both of them into the game at some point, and I mean, honestly, it does feel very. I mean, they're just placating. You know,
if you've picked up on it, then you know it's. You know it's forced. You know when it's not forced, right. Things like that, when it just, oh, I didn't even realize, you know?
Right, right.
Wow.
Right.
What I think it lacks, because, I mean, I haven't played a lot of it, but, you know, mm-hmm. I've played a lot of war games to know. What I think it lacks is something that makes it stand out from everything else. What I loved about Battlefield 1 was that it put you in the shoes of all these different people. And it even puts you in like no-win situations.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And but Call of Duty seems to be like, let's tell a story about four blokes. And it's everything that you know what happened in the war. It was D-Day and then this town.
Yeah, it's covering like almost all of the stuff that's been covered in previous movies. So Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, because they do have a Battle of the Bulge moment. You know, that's a very famous, you know, battle. But I, you know, again, it's like it's been, we've seen it, we've played it, so let's do something different. So yeah, the single player
Kelly's hero mode.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, at the end of the day, though, the good news is it is only about 6 hours. So you do get through it fairly quickly. And I don't mean to be, you know, saying that in a dismissive way, because, you know, a lot of people want their single players to go longer. But to me, this was just getting to that point of like, I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm really kind of over playing the single player, and it finished up. So I was kind of like, okay, perfect, because I was done. I mean, overall, it's a decent package. But so here's the funny thing. So Call of Duty Infinite Warfare offered up a trial. So there's a free trial to play that game. Ironically, they're still supporting that game. So I fired up and started playing the trial, playing the campaign, the single player. And I was instantly grabbed by the story of the single player in Infinite Warfare. I found it pretty interesting from the get-go. And so having just played Call of Duty World War II, I was pretty amazed by how much I was feeling more vested in last year's Infinite Warfare versus this year's offering.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad game, but it's not like, wow. Yeah, it seems
if you like Call of Duty, I think you'll like it. I should throw that out there.
It's one of the better Call of Duties, I will say. It is one of the better ones, but I mean, there's been about 50 of them. So where do you list them? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not a bad game. I wouldn't be disappointed if I got it for Christmas, which I did. So
yeah, one of the things I do like, by the way, about the war mode, and I don't know if they do this in the other modes, but in war mode, depending upon, you know, where you are in the map or what side you are on, if you're defending, there are a lot of different choke points in the map. But you are able to actually build, or, you know, blockades or battlements depending upon the mode. Like sometimes there's modes where you're, escorting tanks, and depending upon which side of the map you're on, you're either trying to keep them from going forward or you're trying to keep them going forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're defending against them, you can set up these blockades along the pathway that will keep the tank from moving forward. And so the attacking group has to clear those to get the tanks to move forward. And then there'll be doorways and things like that that you can barricade, or you can set up machine gun nests and you have to build them out. So I do find that little wrinkle kind of a nice little touch in the war mode. So it's a little bit different than Rush completely from Battlefield. Yeah, but I mean, overall, it's a decent package. Just don't expect it to rewrite and transform Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Speaking of, let's see, Rich, what else? What else do you want to talk about?
There was Master Chief Collection. Wow. What a package. I'm like, I don't know how many years late I am. 4 years? Is it four years old?
About 4 years, yeah.
I got it for £11.80.
Wow. And it's been patched
6,000 achievement points as well for this.
Yeah, 6,000 gave you a score. It has had a lot of patches. I hear it is a lot better than it was. It is disappointing that it does have some frame rate problems still.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Assault on Control from Halo Combat Evolved. So that was the fifth So now it's number six, which is the Flood one. I think it's 363 Spark.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's the library, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the library. 363 Nasty Spark or something. It's in like the jungle. Starts in a jungle.
Oh, okay, okay. You're not the library is my least favorite level on Halo ever.
Really?
I believe that's Halo 2. Yeah, I hated the library.
Yeah, I've come out of balls,
The ultimate Halo, I think, experience for me so far. I've dabbled. I did a little bit of Halo 3, but like in his Master Chief collection. But in Halo 1. The cartographer level, the silent cartographer, which I think is level 3. It's the one after Halo, and it's the one with just the island.
Oh, yeah, you're way around, up high. Yeah.
And you can go all around, and then like you're in the warthog bit, and you're fighting hunters. That game, man, Halo, is just so good, and there's so much story to it.
It's funny, this week I fired up a bit of ODST again because I fancy playing through that. So when you get to that, give me a shout. We can maybe do a wee bit of that together.
Yeah, well, I got that. I bought that full price off as the DLC.
Like an avant-garde Halo experience. It's very different. And
I really liked ODST. I liked it. It was smaller and tighter, but it was like... It was just more human because obviously John 117 is not human. He's a machine. He is like Metroid Prime meets, you know, whatever. But yeah, ODST was good. So I got the DLC, the ODST. It was like $3.99 on Xbox Live. So I've got that installed. So I'll be going Halo 1, 2, 3. And I'll do ODST. And now I never got around to playing Halo 4. I do actually own it on Xbox 360 though. Now I've got also...
Well, you have it in the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, so it's in there now. I've also got Reach, but I've never played. I think I played like the first level of Reach. I can't remember.
I really enjoyed Reach.
Where should I play Reach in the series?
You can play after four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either after ODST because you're doing 3 and then ODST.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna do 4, so you could either play it after 3.
Yeah, after ODST. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go ODST, Reach 4, and then I'll get 5.
By the way, Reach is my favorite, I think, so far out of all of the Halo games.
Really?
My love. Yes. The space battle things and all, and I love the characters and the story. Yes. Yeah,
I really like the characters in that game.
I'm looking forward to that one. But going through the original Halo, switching back and forth between the old graphics and the new graphics, going and getting the skulls again. The graphics is just amazing. I can't believe they've done it. I'm looking at it, watching it, pressing like select or whatever the button's now called, going back and forth, going, what is this magic I'm looking at? This is wizardry. Why aren't more games doing this? Like, I want to see like a remake of Morrowind with a select button to go back and forth between the new graphics and old graphics. When you go back and forth, it's basically like going from like Morrowind, to Skyrim. Like flipping back and forth with the graphics. It's so good. Do you know what though? Even like the originals on that Master Chief Collection look fantastic because they've been up-resed, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
So like the original graphics one is running at 1080p. So it's like it's a nicer picture. Master Chief Collection is just fantastic and they're going to be patching it as well again, which I'm looking forward to.
It is going to be getting what they're hoping to be kind of the final fix patch.
So maybe we can get into some, Halo multiplayer again, maybe?
And, I have to re-download it. I deleted it off my hard drive, and now that you have it, I will re-download it.
Yeah, we'll get some multiplayer going, maybe after the patches, because I know people are still having problems in the matchmaking. Sometimes it takes like three minutes to wait for a game. 3 minutes?
Yeah, so I mean, if we're doing a private match, it wasn't a problem, as I recall. Mark, I think we played Master Chief Collection quite a bit privately, and it wasn't an issue. It's when you were trying to do the public matches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where
Halo 5 is where you got to go to play the multiplayer. It's awesome.
It is fun.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's very different.
See, I liked Halo Reach multiplayer quite a lot because it introduced like the new stuff. You know, like the jumping, like the can't remember what it was, but like you fire at somebody, like you shoot at somebody, like you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about like a power slam. basically.
Yeah, like a power slam thing. So it introduced that sort of stuff, and it had a bit of like jumping jetpack stuff, didn't it? If I'm remembering rightly, right. Wasn't there like a bit of like a jump boost? I can't remember.
You had abilities.
So the ability stuff. So I liked Reach multiplayer. I just never got around to playing the single player much. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So at Master Chief Collection, £11.80, probably the best £11.80 anyone will ever spend. Even in countries where £11.80 will feed your kids for a month, like Master Chief Collection is
starve your kids by the game.
It's not even a choice. It's not even an option.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not.
Eat the kids.
All right, Rich. Anything else?
No, that's it, mate. That's me done.
All right. Mark, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to talk about this game, and then we're moving on. Because this, yes, refunct, broken-ass game.
Well, it took me 2 minutes to finish it. So
I hate you.
It's all right. It's all right. It's just a bit of a puzzle game. You have to... there's these like blocks sticking out of some water. You just have to change each one to make it green, and you have to get to certain points to press switches to raise more stuff out of the water and get to the sort of like the end of it. So it's
I actually had no problem with this game up until, and this was during Extra Life. I'm bouncing around and I'm hitting the switches and raising things up and down and changing colors. I'm like, oh, this is all fine and dandy. And then there was a switch that was located in like a box, if you will, that I had to jump down to activate.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it raised something else somewhere else. Yeah. I couldn't get out of the stupid box. I was stuck.
You know you can crouch.
There was nothing to do to crouch. It was literally a box wall.
When you jump, you can bounce off the walls and work your way up. That's how you get out. That's how you do it.
But this is the joy of Xbox gifting.
Yes, thank you, Robin.
I had this experience through Xbox gifting, and it works. So that was a little test. No, that was good. No, refunked. Cheapest chips.
It was appreciated up until...
I quite enjoyed it, actually. It was nice chilling out. I did it later.
It is a very chill game.
And it was a nice chill-out game,
All right. Speaking of chill, Robin Tate. You have a lot on your list. I'm going to limit you a little bit on what you can talk about.
I'm going to fire through some very quickly. So some stuff I'll. Yeah. So games not to play, not to buy. And this is an FYI, public service announcement.
Mario Odyssey.
Even I was shocked at that.
Ducati 90th anniversary, the game, which is... it's about £3 or £4 on Xbox at the moment. I love my racers. I love my motorbikes. And Ducati is like a cut-down version of Ride 2. A lot of the same tracks. It is fucking awful. It is so nasty. Just so when you go into a race in this game, it uses lots of the same tracks from Ride 2. All of the other riders in your race, all 15 or 16 of them, are all wearing... the same gear as you. They all have the same number on their bike. They're all on the exact same bike. And it's just,
is it from the same developers as Rise Son of Rome?
when you're racing and the only bike that is in this race is yours. The only one that you can hear is yours. And when the other bikes are riding past you, there's no noise from their bikes whatsoever. It's awful. So
the graphics look very 360-ish, and that's probably being generous.
I mean, and Ride 2 is great, and it has all the courses and all the selection of bikes, and it's very realistic in the handling. But this is like the bad bit of butter that you cut off to throw away. It was that'll do them. That'll just stick Ducati on it and let's cash in here. Just awful. Stay away from it. Stay away.
What I'm hearing is Ducati 90th anniversary game of the year for Robin Tate.
All right. Okay. Mario Odyssey. I went back in to get my sons and more of them. That game is fabulous, fantastic, awesome, beautiful, funny, fantastic. Just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And it is well up there in the game of the year. And this year is going to be really hard for game of the year. You know, I think there will be Zelda, Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn, Wolfenstein, maybe even Assassin's Creed in there as well, you know, and maybe a few others. PUBG is going to get. Yeah, it's going to be a very, very tight year this year, and Cuphead, stuff like that. So it is fabulous. It is a system seller. It's well worth getting a Switch just to play Mario Odyssey. Yeah. It is just awesome. Okay, Little Nightmares. I picked this up a while ago. I've been playing my way through it. Little Nightmares is it plays as a sort of 3D scrolling game. It looks like it's Inside and Unravel got together and had a bastard baby, and it was really, really scary, and this is what's came out of it, and it's like a scary version of a little 3D platformer or 2D platformer in 3D perspective. It is very good. You do walk in and out of the screen the odd time. Some sort of really creepy monsters in it, like the kitchen was one of the levels with this big lumpy floppy chef guy. You know, the chef guy, when we were at EGX 2 years ago, there was a guy dressed up in a suit as the chef guy walking around right. their stand, and he was about 8 foot tall, and that guy is creepy. It is, yeah, but it's very well done. It's not as good as Inside. It's as good as Unravel with a scary sort of twin to it. So, but yeah, if you like that sort of thing, Little Nightmares is definitely worth a pickup. Okay, Forza 7. I've been at Forza 7 again, and I also threw up Halo 5 this week. And the reasons I've been doing Halo 5 and Forza 7 is more to enjoy the beauty and the power of the Xbox One X. Wow. Oh my God, Halo 5 is just sex on wheels. It is so absolutely beautifully gorgeous. It's like the fuzz has been pulled back from the graphics, and they're crisp and sharp. And damn it, I'm buying a 4K projector before Christmas. Even on a 1080p screen, it is awesome. It is just beautiful. I can't imagine what Greg. I'm so interested to hear what Greg has to say about the Xbox and his 4K 65 inch. Whoa, you sexy man! Do you know what, the Xbox One X? I don't care what people say right now, but for the Halos, the Gears of War, and the Forzas, wow! But the Xbox One X for third party titles is the place to be over the next couple of years. It just nothing will touch it. And that's not from me. That's from Digital Foundry. That's from IGN. That's from all the people out there. You know, just anybody that's saying, oh, well, it's not that much better than anything else. It is. It is. The step from a standard Xbox One, which looks fabulous, to even on a 1080p setup, it is a massive leap. It is. And It's like going from 720 to 1080. It is a big, big leap in crispness and vitality of the picture. It's just, oh, wow, just fabulous. And it is also a bit underwhelming. It is like, as Kyle said last week, you get a new phone and it's the same model, the next model on from the phone that you already have. All your settings are there. Everything is there. It was seamless to the changeover. So it's not like it's this big, massive new thing that you have to learn all the new menus and all the other bits and pieces. It isn't that, but just the way it works, the faster load times, and the crispness of the graphics is just awesome. So that's what I've been playing. What about you, Greg? I want to hear all about this. I want to, because we haven't all talked about it.
Yeah, no, we haven't had a chance to talk about the Xbox One X. So I got mine in basically on launch day, but I was actually in New York traveling. So I came home to the console being at home, and I literally didn't have the ability. I was dead tired from travel. I think I got in the door at like 1:30 in the morning. So I opted to set up the next day. So kind of like what you're saying, Robin, you know, it is not, when you fire it up, it outside of a short little intro movie, which I only caught half of because I walked out of the room as it started to play, And I came back in seeing it play. And you won't see that play again. Once you set up the console, it fires up just like the Xbox One does, which I think is a missed opportunity. I think they should, you know, that little little intro, you know, video.
Yeah, with the
they could have that.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they could have that at the forefront, and that would just give it that little extra feeling of being different. And maybe that comes down the line. You know, overall, everything runs faster. You know, it is a smoother experience on the dashboard. Not that I ever had a problem with the dashboard, but I definitely have noticed it is a little bit quicker going through the menus, going through everything. In terms of the games, I mean, I've looked at Forza 7. I've looked at Halo 5, and I did a lot of pre-comparisons. You know, right beforehand, I looked at them on my S, which still gave a good image. It still, you know, the S does do some upscaling with a 4K TV, so you know, it still was giving out a good image. But I definitely was noticing substantially better image quality on the X, on the 4K TV, and one of the games that surprised me the most about just how much better the game looked from the Xbox One S to the Xbox One X is Madden 18.
Wow.
Madden 18 feels like a completely different game running on the Xbox One S or X compared to the S. The HDR lighting, the 4K visuals, I mean, it really comes through and looks fantastic and plays super smooth. Call of Duty, you know, World War II looked fantastic. You know, Infinite Warfare also happens to got a bump for the Xbox One X, and that looked fantastic. Battlefront 2, stunning visually speaking. Gameplay wise, I honestly, Battlefront 2 has gone through so many hiccups and issues. I just am like, you know what? I'm not going to buy that game. This is I will wait for EA Access.
Oh, I'm
going to
say, is this the 10-hour trial? Right, okay. Yeah.
Yes, this is the 10-hour trial. Yeah. The story doesn't, again, it's a disappointing situation of you want that story to be something, it's, you know, grandiose, and you know, Battlefront 2 just feels very run-of-the-mill. But visually, it is drop-dead gorgeous. You know, I will say this. If you own a 4K television, or you are planning to get a 4K television, and then you're making a debate internally to yourself of should I get a PS4 Pro or should I get an Xbox One X, I would say this to you. Why would you spend the amount of money you're going to spend on a 4K television? Because you're likely going to spend anywhere from $800 to potentially $1,500, maybe a little bit more, on a 4K television. And then get a lesser quality console for it. And I don't mean that disparaging to the PlayStation 4 Pro, but right now, every developer coming forward is supporting the Xbox One X in a way that I think a lot of people didn't expect. They are giving it that extra coat of sheen. Those games are standing out compared to the Pro. And so if you've got a 4K investment in terms of your entertainment center, then I would say, is $100 more, you know, to get the best image quality on your television? To me, that seems like a no-brainer. On top of it, you do get a 4K Blu-ray player in the Xbox One X, which you don't get with the PS4 Pro.
You also get that in the S as well.
True. You do get that in the S. You do get that in the S. Absolutely. So
not to be all white privilege, Greg, you know, because it is a lot of money. But it is... It is for probably 4 years of your time, you know, 4 years, 5 years. That looks like the sort of turnaround on these things now. It's worth that investment for something you're going to put so much time into.
Yeah. I'm going to say this right now. Talking about that investment, Robin, I think the writing is pretty clear that in about 4 years' time, the Xbox One X is going to be Microsoft's base console. They'll phase out the S. The X will become the base console, and then they'll release out a new console. And the same thing is going to happen for Sony. The PlayStation 4 Pro will become their eventual base console that they're going to kind of push, and then they'll have a PS5 that'll be, it'll be a step up from the Pro. You know, both these console manufacturers have embraced this idea of the mid-generation kind of cell phone iteration. And while the Pro might not be lighting the world on fire in terms of its sales, I still feel very strongly that Sony is seeing that as the right path to go. So, you know, it just so happens they didn't do enough in their mid-gen refresh for the PS4 Pro. I think they could have – if they had only just taken that extra step and included a little bit extra RAM in the PS4 Pro, it's probably a very different conversation that we're having today. But they didn't. They decided to keep everything basically the same in terms of the memory. And the Pro suffers for that. It does. But anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah. I called you through the week because for people that have the Xbox One X, if you're a bit like me, you know, or a wee bit thick about it, with my poor bandwidth and download, I wasn't 100% sure what games that I had the 4K patches already installed. So there's a couple of things you can do. When you go into the menu on your new Xbox One X, you can go and you can look at your games and you can select them by alphabetical order, or you can group them in alphabetical order or the most recently played. There's now a new drop down there, which is Xbox One X games. So it'll list all of those games there and it'll show you what they are, which ones you have. If you want to be absolutely sure if they have the patches installed onto them, there's a little hack, not a hack, it's I don't know, what would it be?
That's a developer shortcut, basically.
A developer shortcut. So if you press the two bumpers, and if you press the hamburger button and the select button, so the two little buttons, start and select, and the two bumpers, while you are hovering over the icon of your game in your games menu, it brings up a little list and it shows you what version of that you have, and there's a little code there to show you if it has the Scorpio or Xbox One X patches installed on it, if you're not sure. So that's the two bumpers and start and select while you're hovering over the game tab in the game menu, and that shows you everything that's installed for that if you want to be sure. And that's a little thing, a little thing to check. You know what, you're talking about 4K. Even if you don't have 4K, I would still say if you're changing and you're thinking about changing, and if you're going Rich is in a very different position. His main place for gaming is and probably will always be PC. And the Xbox and the PlayStation are where you're going to play things with a group of us, or catching up on stuff that you couldn't easily play on the PlayStation. But if you're a console gamer and you're thinking about changing, yes, the deals on S at the moment are absolutely fantastic. They're hard to miss. But if you're thinking about investing in your main thing for the next few years, even if you don't have 4K, I think the Xbox One X is still well worth doing, because what it does with a 1080 TV, there is a massive difference still. And 4K even more so. So if you have, but if you have everything, if you're in a really lucky position to have a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One, and if you're lucky enough to have a Switch, I feel very, very privileged to have everything. Standard PS4 is a fantastic piece of kit. A standard Xbox One is a fantastic piece of kit. The games are still good. We're talking about aesthetics here. The menu running a bit better doesn't really matter. I mean, really, it wasn't the end of the world. The games are still fabulous looking. Forza 7 will still be fabulous looking. Assassin's Creed will still be fabulous looking. It's just even more fabulous looking on Xbox One X. It's aesthetics. It's fancy graphics. That's the main stuff at the moment. Well, and I'm excited to see what the developers do and how they push it, you know, really over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and that's actually probably the biggest question, right? Because right now, and this also holds true for PlayStation. So, you know, you have the PlayStation 4 Pro and the PlayStation 4, and any developer making a game has to make the game for both systems. You have the same thing happening with the Xbox One X and S. Developers are making a game that will play on both systems. So right now what we have in the market is people that are making games for the Xbox One S or people that are making a game for the PlayStation 4, and then they're basically applying patches and they're doing some updates to the games to allow them to go to the PlayStation 4 Pro or to the Xbox One X and basically enhancing them. My gut tells me in maybe, you know, 1-2 years time down the line, what you're going to start to see is developers actually making games for the PlayStation Pro, for the Xbox One X, and then downporting to the Xbox One S and the PlayStation 4. And it's a very subtle difference, but it's a big difference in terms of the capabilities those games are going to have and what they can do. Because if they do start doing that and they develop for the better system first, the port down, you know, you may see some real significant differences based on that. You know, that's just my gut feeling.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before. I mean, you remember and through the difference when we went from the 360 up to Xbox One and PlayStation 3 to 4. It was especially Call of Duty that they made a Call of Duty version for the 360, which had a whole pile of crap cut out of it.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen. I would also say that possibly even as soon as next year, I would say it'll not be a big, big, massive game, but I would say there'll be a small game, a Little Nightmares, an Inside, a something like that, which will come out maybe later on next year, which will be exclusive to Xbox One X or PS4 Pro. Because it won't be a big one. It'll be a little tester. It'll be a wee, small game.
I get what you're saying.
Unbelievable.
But I don't know. I don't know they do that until they phase out the systems. And the reason why I say that is because both companies were very vocal in saying that all games would play on both systems. And that there wouldn't be something that would be developed specifically for one system over the other. So, you know, so
over the year.
I know. We shall see. But anyway, all right, let's move on from that. We've talked about games enough. I did a quick top 10 list. I thought I would share. This was from, I saw it from a site called Keen Gamer. They did the 10 most atmospheric first person games. So we'll run through this list fairly quickly, but some on here I agree with. Some on here I think they took a little easy way out in terms of naming an entire series. So I'll be curious to see if anybody has a specific game they feel fits at where it's at. But number 10, they put in Star Wars Battlefront for atmospheric first-person games.
It was lovely to get in and play in that Star Wars universe. You know, and that was, you know, because we always wanted to do that. And we could with Lucasfilm games over the years. And you always, you know, pretended to be Luke Skywalker. And, God, I can't stop thinking about La La Land. And I can understand that you got lost in it. It wasn't that the game was that special, but to be able to play in that with that big AT-ATs, at walking around and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, this goes beyond, I should say, just graphics. So this is kind of everything. Because the next game was a bit of a surprise in my estimation, but it was Firewatch. I did not play Firewatch. So
I did, yeah. I played it on the wonderful PS4. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, atmospheric. All right.
Number 8, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. This was a game that dripped with atmosphere, though. It really did.
You think?
What?
Yeah, I didn't like this game. I must be the only person who didn't really. I thought it was okay, but I didn't rave about it. In fact, I thought it was a bit rubbish compared to.
Well, it was a side project, first of all. Let's remember that. But it recalled and brought back all of those 80s Terminator type games and movies. Yeah. That was from me. That's what I pulled from everything. So to me, the game did drip a lot of atmosphere, and maybe it's not so much atmosphere, but maybe it was a lot of nostalgia. Maybe that's probably a better way to put it.
What game's this?
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. It was the spin-off game they did that was like kind of almost like a Terminator game.
Standalone, five hours. Standalone. Everything was done in purple. Nighttime,
neon colors.
Cheesy Michael Bean type voiceover characters.
It's not too bad, that game.
It was all right. Was it Michael Bean? Is that his name? The guy from Aliens?
Yeah.
Michael Bean. Yeah, was it voiced by him? It was tacky shite. Yeah.
Kind of like the
it was like a strip club version of Far Cry 3.
yes, very, very true. All right, number 7, Elder Scrolls and Fallout games. I think this could have been higher on the list, but I also think
I don't want to put them together either. They're completely, completely different types of atmosphere. They're both got fantastic atmosphere, but they're completely different, aren't they? One's a fantasy setting, one's a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, this is where I feel like the author of this list was kind of cheating a little bit.
I got lost in Fallout 3 and lost myself in it, and definitely role played Fallout 3. I loved it. Yeah, and I mean, I know our good old friend Eric the Thumb Piotrowski would definitely say Skyrim and stuff like that. There would be well in there. He definitely role played it.
Rich, I know you're. I mean, this is your bread and butter games right here. What would you say out of all the games deserves to be in this named out as the game most atmospheric from those series?
Fallout 4 from the Fallout series, and probably Skyrim.
All right.
I mean, I would have said Morrowind, but with Skyrim, you get the extra like graphical atmosphere stuff. The audio's a bit better, the sound effects, blah blah blah. So yeah, probably Skyrim, and I'd say Fallout 4 was more atmospheric than 3, just because there's more shit going on.
Yeah. Okay. Some of the vistas you got in Skyrim were just amazing, even on 360. Yeah. Just absolutely.
It's
amazing.
A perfect game.
Yeah.
If you got 10 gamers in a room and said, what was the best RPG of all time, right? 8 of them would say Skyrim, and the other 2 would be stupid.
all right, number 6, Thief. This was a game that, kind of the same to me as the Skyrim games in some respects.
Yeah, the fantasy setting.
I have nothing to say.
Because the actual game itself was a bit of a flop, wasn't it? Didn't get
The original
high ratings. The remake
suffered a little bit. The next game I absolutely agree should be on this list, not Alien Colonial Marines. That is
that's
shite.
A pity. That was on.
No, Alien Isolation. This is a game that talk about atmosphere.
Still got it on my list to play.
Yes. It's on my enhanced list. I'm afraid to play it.
I picked it up in the recent sale. So yeah, it's
Resident Evil 7. I did not play this one. I've got heard fantastic things about it.
Yeah, I borrowed this from my nephew on disc. It is really good, and that is definitely atmospheric, spooky atmospheric.
Some freaky Metro shit. Last Light Redux.
It was good.
I love the Metro series, so works for me. The next game, he called that a series, but honestly, I'm going to edit this and just say BioShock, the original BioShock.
Yep.
Yeah.
This should be number one to me.
Yeah. BioShock is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. BioShock is where dreams are made.
That opening bit where you're coming down the lift, and it's just all the sounds and the spookiness. Oh, yeah.
There's literally nothing wrong with BioShock.
No.
It's not long enough. There's not enough BioShock 1. There really isn't.
Well, the little puzzles that you had, break the cameras or something? There was like a pipe puzzle. I mean, that was maybe the only thing you could say was a bit basic in it. But even that, they were all right, I suppose. But yeah, it is the perfect game, and I'm going to play it again soon. Yeah.
As soon as I played the demo of that on 360, I knew I had to have that game.
It is £14.50 or £14.85 in the sale right now. So go and get the enhanced
the collection
right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Master topic.
And the number one game on this list is a game I have no idea. I'm not familiar.
Nope.
The Hunter Call of the Wild.
That must be Zelda. Is that Zelda?
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
What's the Hunter Call of the Wild? What the hell is that?
I think Steam. It's a PC game. Yeah,
it's a Steam game. PC game.
Is that one of those like Kim's games, like you go out and shoot raccoons and stuff?
It's kind of like... it's just a hunting game, basically.
Oh, yeah, okay. It is a Kim game.
It's like Cabela's Kim thing. Yeah,
Raccoon Shooter 4.0.
Yeah, you've got to like
Hunter.
Stalk the prey, be really quiet. Graphics are really nice.
You've got wind direction and everything. They can smell you. Yeah.
I suppose you have to be into hunting to probably appreciate that a little bit better. But there you go.
Cheeky bastards want 30 quid for it, though. Fuck off. It might be good.
But you'd also say, I mean, that sort of thing, you'd have to put in some... Especially horror games do atmosphere really well, like your Outlasts and that PT, even that demo. You know, that was the sort of meaty atmosphere. So, anyway, good list.
Anyway, yeah. All right, Mark, we've got some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so I know the podcast has been going on for quite some time now, so I don't want to make it an overly long podcast tonight, but we
Cindy's
do have some news
getting
stories.
To you, Cindy's getting to you.
Oh, no, we have plans. We have plans, so I can't stay on much longer. News, EA pulled all the in-game purchases from Star Wars Battlefront 2 as of November 17th. Yes. They put forward in a Twitter post, "Today we turned off in-game purchases for Star Wars Battlefront 2. The game is built on your input and will continue to evolve and grow." And my counter to that is, if it was built on our input, these would have never been in there to begin with. DICE GM Oscar Gabrielsen said the company will spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. But then he did say that the plan is for the crystal purchases, which is basically the heart of this whole issue, will return eventually. But it's difficult to see how that will be received, of course, if the players are still buying items that have a real impact. And that was the big thing about this. People were being able to pay for items. It was pay for win. And in such a gross way. Not only were you able to buy items to increase your capabilities in the game – and make you basically better than somebody that couldn't buy those items in real world money. But also some of the rewards, like all the hero stuff. I mean, it was ungodly long, like, you know, to earn enough credits to get one of those hero characters. It was like you earned maybe 200 or 300 crystals, so to speak, in a match. And these hero characters were like 75,000. So you were not going to earn a hero character anytime soon unless you paid.
They reckoned it'd take 4 months of solid gameplay to unlock one.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a step back. So they've stopped this now, but they are going to introduce it, but it still will be there, but it'll be much better than it was. So were they just chancing their arm to see how much they could throw at people to get them to suck it up? You know, how far can we push people? And even if we wind it back a bit, they'll be happy, but we'll still have this stuff in there. You know, that's the cynical part of me thinking that they're still going to do it. Even if they cut it in half, it'll still be shite, but everybody will be happy. It was much better than before, but it'll still be there. It is pretty gross how this is going this year. You know, it is awful.
Well, this is like the epitome of ugly. This puts everything else we've seen so far to shame. I will say this. Part of me thinks that EA definitely put this in there and thought, you know what, it's Star Wars. People are going to buy the game anyway. They'll deal with it, so to speak. And with all of the backlash that came, something tells me Disney put out a friendly phone call to EA and said, if you want to keep the license to keep doing these games, you need to fix this ASAP. Because, you know, Disney and the Star Wars brand is being hurt just as much by this as EA. So, this was the last thing I'm sure Disney wanted to see happening right before their big movies coming out. This could not have been a bigger fumble by EA in terms of this franchise, which honestly, everybody said last year's Star Wars Battlefront, it was good. All we want, just add in a single player game and it's going to be pretty much fine. It's going to be, you know, exactly what we want. And
they stood on the stage at E3 last year and went, we've heard you. We know what you want. We're going to knock it out of the park. And they had every opportunity to do that. And if they just had it played this subtle, people still would have bought stuff, even if it wasn't play to win, just like Rocket League and stuff like that there. They would have bought different uniforms. They would have bought different characters. They would have done it anyway if it hadn't been pay to win.
Yeah.
So naughty, 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 naughty dice. You should know better. And typical EA.
Yes.
God very much damn so. It.
All right. Microsoft.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I will now wait until it comes into EA Access Vault, which is we've said earlier on will probably be sooner rather than later, and stuff them. I would have maybe done it, but I'm not going to now. And that's how we teach these people. We teach these people by not doing it, by not ignoring the stuff. We do it
voting
by
with the wallet for sure.
With our wallets, yes.
Mark, anything you want to add in on this before we go to the next story?
No, I think you've covered it all. I'm same as Robin. They've tried pulling a fast one on gamers, and gamers have sort of like shouted back at them. And they get everything they deserve, I think.
Fair enough. All right. Microsoft is delaying the Minecraft upgrades until 2018. There's no definitive date on when they're going to be reintroducing the Super Duper Graphics Pack. That's the big visual upgrade to Minecraft that they've been promising. And they also, within this delay, have delayed out the cross-platform Switch multiplayer play. So that still is yet to come, and they said sometime in 2018. So they're not elaborating as to why, but it's pretty clear that they have work to be done on making these both of these upgrades happen. GameStop, who just recently had debuted a new used game rental service called Power Pass, which basically for $60 a month, or $60 for 6 months, excuse me, you were able to bring out and rent one game at a time from GameStop. And it was basically kind of an unlimited game pass, if you will, but you could only have one game out at a time. They have just out of the blue basically stopped the program, and they put it on suspension. And they're not saying when or if it might come back. So that's a real kind of curious thing. I assume it didn't go well for them. I'm not sure why it wouldn't have been somewhat successful, because it seems like a kind of a service similar to you know, some of the things that you see out online. I forgot the name of the one, the UK service. It starts with a B, I want to say.
Boomerang,
yeah. So, you know, a game rental service, it seems like a natural fit for GameStop, but maybe they had second thoughts about getting into game rental period, because let's face it, that's also something that Blockbuster used to do here in the U.S., and Blockbuster is no more either. So those are the news stories. Not much else happening. I'm sure there's a few.
Was the only thing to mention would be the Black Friday sale has already started on Xbox. It will soon come with PlayStation. There are a multitude of really heavily discounted games for Xbox. I'm sure PlayStation will be the same. I'm sure Steam will be the same. Things that are out there, I've already dipped in. I bought Wolfenstein 2, which is going to be up there for Game of the Year, I'm quite sure. Wolfenstein 2 is down to £25. I think that's really, really good value for a brand new game. And there's lots of stuff, I mean, from £2 up, but pretty much everything is there, from GTA stuff to Lego games for the kids, right through to, everything this year is discounted. Pretty much everything that came out this year,
lots of discounts.
Yeah, I don't know. But will that get better? Will that get even cheaper on Black Friday itself? Do you think, or Cyber Monday? Do you think, or is that what it is?
I think what you may see are some additional games released that'll have discount, but I don't think you're going to see the discounts being offered now are going to get better. Because that would be pretty crappy. It's like, you know, you go onto the Black Friday sale today, you're buying a game for $20, and then 3 days later they discount it even more. I would be pissed off. That's not a consumer friendly tactic. So
yeah.
I wouldn't expect that to happen. But what I would might expect to happen is, say, a game that's not on that list suddenly appears on the list 3 or 4 days later, and has.
It's funny because I think on some of them it says, like, to even today, there, you know, this price is available for next 4 days or five right. days, and that only takes us to Black Friday.
Yes.
So
yep.
maybe there's another tranche of games going to come in there as well.
Yeah, I do think that's going to happen for sure.
Mm.
For sure.
Okay.
Speaking All right, of cool. games,
All right.
We're still waiting for Mr. Webster to come back. So, Mark, why don't you walk us through the new releases? It's a big list,
yeah,
and maybe
it's
the freebies.
Huge list. Yeah. Yeah. So the new releases for November 18th to 24th, we have Battle Chef Brigade for the Switch and the PC, November 20th, and Tiny Metal for PS4, Switch, and PC, November 21st. And that is it. That's your lot.
How about some freebies, yeah. Mark? What, if I paid money for a service, what can I get for free?
So on the Xbox Gold service, for Xbox One, you can get Trackmania Turbo until the 30th of November, and you can also get Tales from the Borderlands, which is available now until the 15th of December. On the 360, you can currently get Deadfall Adventures, which is available until the 30th of November. And that is also right. backup compatible.
I think that's like an Indiana Jones type
yeah, it
kind
looks
of first
it, yeah.
person shooter.
Yeah. On the PlayStation side for PS Plus, you can get Worms Battlegrounds on PS4, Bound, which is a PS4 and PSVR game, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, which is a PS Plus bonus if you've got PSVR because you need it for that, That's You, which is a PlayLink game, R-Type Dimensions on PS3, Ragdoll Kung Fu Fists of Plastic for PS3. Greg's dropping his balls again. Dungeon Punks for the PS Vita and PS4. And finally, Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, Episodes 1 and 2 on the Vita. And that are your paid for freebies for PlayStation and Xbox.
Nice. And it was not my balls I dropped. It was my spinner. I hate that thing.
And if you get any of those games, and if you finish them, we have a lovely competition, and it's called Victory Achieved. So what you do with Victory Achieved is, when you finish the games to the titles, you take a selfie of yourself and you fire that off to @OC_podcast, and it will be retweeted there. You put the hashtag Victory Achieved in it, and you go into our contest, which we draw once every 3 months, and you win $20 or 15 quid gift card for PSN, XBL, Steam, or I'm quite sure now, Nintendo. And also, the Year of Living Gamerously is almost finished. We're almost at the end of the year. And this week, the people that have completed games in the Year of Living Gamerously, John Mouse has now finished 31 games. He's finished up Gravity Rush, and he's on to different stuff now. Denok TQ, he has finished The Last Guardian, and Terraform finished Star Wars Battlefront 2, which he sneaked into his log. John Lavalle, he finished Super Mario Odyssey. Mark Alex finished Refunct, what a fabulous game. Kyle Adamski, he has finished Destiny 2. Dastardly Jabby finished Marvel Superheroes with his beautiful daughter. Batch Gaming finished Perfect Dark Zero, there's a blast from the past. Cybul 27 finished Titanfall 2. And Murphy's Law, Klopp, finished Call of Duty World War 2 with the Fall of Madonna and the Big Boobies. So that's very, very good. Congratulations to all those people that have finished your games. Remember, just fire it off to @OC_podcast when you finish a game with your beautiful smiling face with the credits in the background, and we'll do the rest. So there you go.
Excellent. And Rich is back, which means we can now do the news quiz, Mark.
It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
News quiz Rock. Time from, again, Jason Johnson. Thank you so much for sending in the news quiz each and every week. So we have two questions this week. They are multiple choice questions. And, of course, there is a fantastic prize awaiting the victor of the news quiz at the end of the year, which right now, Mark, I think you have solidified that you cannot lose at this point.
Okay, that's
good. However, I will just cheat. You know what? I'll tell you that just to build up your confidence, and maybe you just start tanking and somebody will come in and sneak
in. I thought Kim was catching up to me.
I need to go back about 4 episodes right now, so we're incomplete stats at this point. All right, here we go, though. Let's play some trivia. Rich might get this. I don't know. Mark is going to know this. Robin, likely not as well. But
must be an
Nintendo
question.
Here we go. What is the name of the main character in Assassin's Creed Rogue? Is the name of the main character in Assassin's Creed Rogue? Is it A, Michael Kenaway? B, Raul Dechangi? C, I'm going to be brutal on these names. C, Shea Patrick Cormack?
Yeah, I'm going to use nice boys' ears.
D, Robin Hathaway? A, Michael Kenway? B, Raul Dechangi? C, Shea Patrick Cormack? Or D, Robin Hathaway?
When do we answer?
So I need your answers after 3. 3.
I didn't know this. I've not played this. This is the only one I haven't played, so I've had to guess.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
All right. So we have Robin saying Shea Patrick Cormack. Rich is saying Robin Hathaway. And Mark is saying Michael Kenway.
I would remember
now,
Robin.
I know Michael Kenway is wrong. Because that was a different game.
That's Black Flag.
That's Black Flag. So it really came down to Shea Patrick Cormack or Robin Hathaway.
Yeah. Well, I would know.
Assassin's Creed 3, the guy, the star who you think is Assassin but is a Templar, I think his name was Kenway as well.
A up.
Yeah. Well, the correct answer is Shea Patrick Cormack.
To be sure.
Well done, Rich, and well done, Robin, on the well done, Robin. My bad, Robin. Yes, Robin got that. Well done. All right. Continuing on an Assassin's Creed theme, what year was the first Assassin's Creed released? Was the first Assassin's Creed released? Was it A, 2010, B, 2007, C, 2005, or D, 2008? Jeez. What year was the first Assassin's Creed released? Was it A, 2010, B, 2007, C, 2005, or D, 2008? Mark, if I could please have that music.
So I need your answer. After 3.
All right, we have everybody saying 2008. So the question is everybody right or is everybody wrong? And the correct answer to that question is everybody's wrong. 2007.
No, the first Assassin's Creed released.
Well, the Xbox came out in late 2005. I got mine early 2006. I'm sure it was 3 years after that. Oh, man.
Do we get a one-year-old T-shirt? A one-year-old T-shirt? Well, one of those.
I'm going to Google that. I don't believe that.
No, it was. It was 2007 because it's the same year COD 4 came out.
Wow. Listen to that voice of reason.
Oh,
yep.
October 27th, 2007. No, it's fucking Origins, you dick.
Halo 3, Call of Duty 4, Assassin's Creed, and there was Bioshock, all 2007.
Yeah, quite great, possibly one of the greatest years in gaming.
Yeah. I should have known that.
That was good squeeze, Jason. Thank you.
2007.
That was very good.
Yeah, fucking hell.
All right. Well, we are pretty much at that time. We need to wrap things up. So, look, if you want to be part of the conversation, we have things like Twitch where you can come in and watch us on a weekly basis. You know what? Why don't, instead of me saying this, Mark, why don't we just play that jingle now? Because it pretty much says all of this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. So aside from those ways that you can reach out to us, you can definitely watch us every Saturday, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you're one of our UK brothers, it is 11 p.m. your time. Come check us out on twitch.tv/OC podcast or mixer.com/OC podcast or even on YouTube, which if you're going to go to the YouTube, just look up Overseas Connection Podcast. That'll be the fastest way to find us. And if you like clubs, I know everybody likes to be a part of something. We have a bunch of different clubs. We have the OC Podcast Club on the Xbox One. We have the OC Podcast Community on the PS4. We have the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And on the OC, on the Discord, that's a huge up and coming thing, Discord. We have the OC Podcast server on Discord. So that's actually been all props to Mark. Discord has been a fantastic way to communicate with us, as well as honestly on Extra Life. We all sat in on a chat. It's a great, great service.
It actually went down last night for the first time. It went down for about an hour.
Discord is a piece of crap. It's always broken. Yeah. It never works.
No, it's the first time, but yeah, it was unusual. But yeah, it went down last night.
It went very quiet this week. Did you nerf it completely?
The notifications, yeah, it'll only notify you now when someone's broadcasting if you're actually on the Discord at the time.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry, right. Jason. Yeah, it says, how dare you doubt me?
All right. Let's do some shout-outs and get out of here, starting with Rich. Rich, shout-out the muffin.
I'm going to shout-out Jill because she's been doing really well on COD. I want to shout out Halo. Anyway, yeah, shout out Halo because Halo is the tits. And you guys, I want to shout out Dan Knappman as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good call.
I want to say shout out to him. For reasons. I don't really want to say what it is. If you want to, you can.
No, no. Dan has had, you know, life. It's happening, right? It happens all the time, and some things are inevitable, and there are difficult situations to deal with in life. And Dan, unfortunately, is going through one of those times. So our hearts and thoughts are with Dan, for sure. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Mm-hmm. I'll go next, then. I want to shout out the Same Coin podcast, all the guys on there. They're calling it a day after 5 years of a wonderful, funny podcast. They always had me in stitches with their podcast, so going to be sadly missed. Hopefully we'll hear some of the guys on different other podcasts, maybe.
They were a pile of cunts. They really were. Good riddance to them.
And I want to shout out all my US friends for this Thursday. I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Over to you,
yeah,
Robin.
I would concur with that. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your football and stopping. To Dan, yeah, well, look, Dan had a bereavement. It's really sad he's been involved in it. It was public enough, so our hearts are out with you. I know you've had a tough week having to deal with everything because you've been the one that has had to deal with it all. So, we're here for you if you need us. So, big family. Getting tacos. Jason? I cannot influence Santa in any way whatsoever to get you all the games you want. I know you've asked the podcast to help you with Santa this year, but we cannot. We really can't. Santa replied to us when we did send him the letter to say that you would get what you would deserve. I'm not quite sure what that means, Jason, but I'm sure you in your heart of hearts know what that means. I want to shout out also Paul Stuntmaster. He enjoyed the podcast greatly. I want to shout out John Wayne. He enjoyed the podcast greatly as well, apart from being a dickhead. Mark Webb. Do you know Mark from Mojo Interactive? Chatting to Mark this week. Mark's going to be a father very, very soon. So congratulations, sir. Very, very soon he's going to be a first-time dad. We were having a chat about
the club.
About Mojo Interactive this week, and which was the 360 Gamercast. And I think he's having some doubts about should he continue, should he not continue. Do you know what? 360 Gamercast is one of the podcasts that was out there for many years, and it's in fact I think this February will be their 10-year anniversary. So keep doing it as long as you love it. He's asked me to come onto the show. We're going to try and arrange that, and it's a good show. They've got some good characters in there. I love Stuntmaster. I love the guy Cinnamon Dan and all the guys that have been there over the years. So Mark, it's hard to, we've said this week, the stuff that I have to deal with from my fellow podcast hosts. If you're on video right now, you can see the abuse that I'm taking over my heritage.
For the record, who bought that for me?
I have no idea. But that's the sort of stuff that you can buy in America. That's the sort of stuff that oppresses the Mexican people. Oh, Colin make that? That's good. Colin's hand. Cool. Mark, yes, look.
Also known as Wilson.
It's my Wilson. Keep at it, mate. Enjoy your podcast. We'll get arranged for me to come on over the next week or two. You guys, love podcasting with you. And to all our American friends, to all our American podcast guys, to Kim and to Nicole, to what's your name? Oh, hi. Greg. Christ almighty. I can't even look at the screen. I don't know what I'm going to see next. Happy Thanksgiving. You're welcome to America. You seem to be doing an all right job with it. We'll let you have it for a while longer. Greg.
How to follow that up.
Sorry. I always do this, but I have to shout out the wonderful people in the chat. We didn't do that.
Yes, we did not do that. So, we definitely need to do that.
BBD Games was in there. Kosigan. Is that Kosigan or Kosigan? Or Kosigan. He's been in there. Kosine. I would say Kosine. Martin's been in there. Teflon's been in there. There's been lots of other people. I'm sorry if I missed you being in there as well, but there's been lots of folk in there tonight, so that's the sort of thing you can do, and those have interacted, you can maybe hear us mentioning the messages as the podcast goes on, so join the chat if you can join us live. That's me. I'm done.
All right. My job really is simple. Thank you to the three of you for making the podcast this week. It's always a pleasure talking with each one of you individually. It's even more fun when I get you guys in a group. Drink on, Robin, drink on, my friend. Always a shout out to the listeners. Yes. We'll talk about Extra Life in just a second. But a shout out to the listeners. As Robin noted, we love when you guys are in the chat. But, it's not just about the chat. It's about just being part of a community. Extra Life showed how much of a community we are. We had a tremendous showing this year for our Extra Life. We finished up over $8,500. I don't have the exact total in front of me. I'll have it in a minute. But it was just amazing. Mike Chin finished it out in grand style for the team. To that extent, Mike, well winner. Done.
I'm a winner, winner, chicken dinner. I won the auction.
The team has raised a grand total so far of $8,563.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yes. Which is brilliant, and this is for everyone.
Yeah, well done. Well done to everybody on the team and to the community for supporting us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really do appreciate everybody giving money. I know it's not always the easiest thing to do. Times can be tough, but we this was a great cause. And it's something that we hope to repeat year in and year out as long as we can. So thank you to everybody. I got to say thank you to my wife for letting me on the podcast tonight, because I know we got stuff to do. We got places to go. Right now, I need to go change into my Batman suit, because we're going to go wine tasting and eating food. So
I just have one more thing to say, if that's okay.
They're quick, right?
Well, two things. Why the fuck does Twitch give away loot boxes for stuff? I don't get it. What is it with loot boxes? Right. And the other thing is IGN, right? IGN are cunts, right? Punisher spoilers, right? I'm going to talk Punisher spoilers, right? But without spoiling, because I'm not a cunt, you see. IGN have been putting out Punisher videos all day, and the titles give stuff away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've done that in the past, and it pisses me off too. So, yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it was 6 months away. They only released like yesterday.
Right, right. Yeah.
What are these
Stay
playing
clear
at?
Of IGN. If you want to, if you don't want to be spoiled by something, I wouldn't follow IGN on Twitter. I'd stay away from them, their website, until you get a chance to play that game or watch that movie. They are the kings of a headline that gives away an important detail in something.
They went on strike this week.
Yes. Well, it's the latest company to have a sex harassment scandal hit them. So it's the newest thing.
Is it going to happen to our podcast?
I haven't told my story yet about you, Robin.
Yes. All of our dirty laundry is coming out next podcast. All right.
Robin touched me inappropriately.
You're fired, Mike. And Mark.
Oh, shit. These are all going to have similar stories. Oh, fuck.
Yes. Can we close this podcast out? Should we just finish the fuck out?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Some people say,
come on. Yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.